The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. For those of you that are outside of the North Shore area, or Merrimack Valley area, you may call it Peabody, but I know that most of you that are listening to this show know that it's really called Peabody. The reason that I talk about that is that I'm going to tell you some stories today about some radio spots that I've been on. People have been interviewing me about my new my current book, actually, that's out here called Retiring for the Genius. And I can't tell you how many people have butchered the name Peabody when they start to interview me and ask me questions about the book. But we'll get to that later. We are here each and every Sunday morning from 7:30 to 8:30, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. We've been doing this for almost 3 years or so. It's been great. I have had an opportunity to meet so many people from the Merrimack Valley and North Shore community. Many of you have called my office. Many of you come in to see me. Some of you drop me emails. You provide such great insights and great opportunity for us to learn more about this community, a community that I've been a part of pretty much all my life. I'm 48 years old. My father started our firm back in 1968, and we've been providing financial planning since then. Very few financial planning firms can say that they've been delivering comprehensive, authentic financial planning advice to the same community for close to 50 years. It's been a long, long time, and boy, have we seen things change. I mean, think about it. When you think back to your parents retiring or your grandparents retiring, I know that their perspective on retirement is totally different than what yours looks like. And one of the things that we continue to try to talk about here on the show is giving retirement planning advice for the modern day retiree. Look, if you retired in the 70s and the 80s, generally what would happen is you would get your Social Security check, you'd get a pension. A lot of people got pensions back then. And then if you had additional money, you could actually live off the interest. People were paying 8, 10, 12, 14, even in some cases, 18%. I know you remember those days, but folks, those days are not coming back. They are not coming back, perhaps ever, but that's a tough thing to kind of quantify. But it's going to be a really long time until you even see interest rates push up into the fives and sixes. So we need to rejig our retirement thinking. Pensions are, you know, at a minimum these days, very few people are getting them. It's really up to you to utilize your 401k plans, your IRAs, your investment accounts, your annuities, your insurance policies, whatever you might own, even money in the bank, and try to figure out, how do I manage this thing called retirement? So one of the things that I've been working on over the past year or two has been writing a book. And my book is finally available. I know they've been giving it away here on the station during the week. Catherine Brown, I think, gives away a copy of the book periodically. It's called Retiring for the Genius. If you want to follow Retiring for the Genius, if you want to learn more about the book, let me give you a couple ways to do that. Number one is I tweet on a regular basis. Now, if you're a tweeter or a Twitterer follower, you can follow me at Retiring Genius. So that's R-E-T-I-R-I-N-G. Genius, Retiring Genius. Yes, there's two G's in the middle. So you can certainly do that if you want to just follow along to see what we're doing, what we've been talking about, all sorts of ideas. Another way to follow us is go to retiringgenius.com. That's where the website is. You can always find insights from the book, all sorts of thoughts, some videos, some ideas for you as well. But right now, I'd like you to stay here. Sit back, have your morning coffee with me. Let's talk about some things that are important to your life as it relates to retirement. Now, the market that we talk to, the group of people that I try to talk to each and every Sunday, is a group that I believe is oversold and underserved. You're a group of people who know you desperately need to get your financial house in order, But you're so worried that someone's trying to sell you something, oversell you something, and really underserve you. All they're really interested in is just getting some product sold to you, getting you to feel good about something. But I know, and you know, that retirement needs to feel bigger than that. It needs for you to have a greater sense of understanding of knowing that for the next 20, 30 years, you never know how long retirement will last, that you're not going to run out of money, that you're going to have adequate resources to support the lifestyle you want, and that, frankly, you want your lifestyle in retirement to be very similar to the spending lifestyle you had when you were working. So how do you do that? How do you go about making the right decisions so that you can fulfill that goal of retirement? Well, throughout the course of the hour today, I'm going to tell you a series of stories. As I said, this book has been out. We've been promoting this book all around the country. You can find Retiring for the Genius on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, soon to be in the bookstores in a variety of different places. But right now, you can be among the first to own this book by going to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com and searching for Retiring for the Genius. I know many of you have purchased the book. In fact, I've received some really nice feedback from folks that listen to this show who have bought it and have provided some great feedback to us. By the way, if you have read it or if you've picked up the book, I'd love for you to write a review on the book on Amazon.com. Amazon seems to really love that stuff. It helps the ranking and the visibility of the book. If you're able to write a review, it becomes more popular on the Amazon site. And so anything that you could do to help me would be appreciated as well, because this book is chock full of information. And unlike other books that you've seen out there, or unlike other things that are sold that have lots of charts, lots of graphs, lots of statistics, lots of equations, lots of formulas, you're not going to find that stuff in here. What you're going to find in this book is really easy to follow layout. All sorts of little call-out boxes, what they call sidebars, with little cool and cute little characters that help you along the way. In addition, I share lots of short stories, frankly, that are about my clients. No, I've changed the names, I've changed where they live and all that kind of stuff, but they're real-life stories, stories that apply to you, that I know they're similar to your situations. For instance, here's an example. We had someone come into my office just yesterday, but this story is also in the book because it's very similar. Here's a person who's 64 years old. He's been working with the same company for 30 years plus. His wife is a school teacher. She's 62. And they're contemplating retirement. And they think they have enough money to retire, but they're not sure. But they're also wondering, should I take Social Security? Hey, I'm 64 years old, he says. I'm over age 62, so I know I can get my Social Security. If I retire, should I take it? If I continue to work, should I take it? What should I do? Should I wait till 66, which is full retirement age? Well, interestingly, he was coming very close to the decision of turning in his papers to his employer next month and saying, I'm going to retire. But he was retiring because he was kind of sick of working for the same boss and the same people. He said, things have changed. Technology's gotten way too confusing for me. The employees, they're whiz kids that are there now, and they don't need some old guy like me. 64 years old, you're not old. Trust me, you're not old. But he said, you know what, it's just not for me anymore. I think I'm going to get out of this game. So he was planning on retiring, turning in his paperwork, collecting a small pension, and also getting a pretty sizable 401k, and then collecting Social Security. And so initially he thought, geez, that would be a good idea. I said, so what are you going to do? So after you turn in your paperwork, you retire. You're home. For a few days, it might be very relaxing. You go on vacation. You say, this is great. I don't have to wake up in the morning, take that commute into Boston, drive back and forth. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And then week two comes and week three comes, and all of a sudden you realize that you're not going to work anymore. You're not heading into the office. You really have nothing to do, and golf is getting a little long in the tooth. You've been doing that a lot, too. So he begins to think, you know, maybe I'll find something to do. And lo and behold, the company that he was working for calls him back up. And they say, you know, we understand you've retired, but there are some real valuable pieces of wisdom and insight and expertise that we know you continue to carry with the company. And we really like you to provide some guidance to some of our younger employees that are here. So could we hire you back on a contract basis? That doesn't mean you're an employee. You just go back on a contract basis. And many people will jump at that. And you should. You know what? At 64 years old, you're way too young to sit on a front porch, drink lemonade, and just watch the sunrise and sunset. You're going to have to be busy. But here's the problem. If you took your Social Security, if you began drawing Social Security at age 64, and you begin to go back to work, guess what? If you're making more than $14,000 a year, you're going to start paying back the Social Security that you're receiving. That's not exciting. That doesn't make it a good decision to take Social Security early. Now, I will tell you, most people take Social Security at 62 or 63, and they shouldn't. But they figure, well, it's free money. Let me take the cash. I don't know how long I'm going to live. Someone's willing to send me a check every month. But you know what? In your early 60s, you're going to be feeling a lot younger than your grandparents and your great-grandparents before you felt at age 60. It's better off waiting until age 66, your full retirement age, before you begin taking Social Security. The reason why is, at 66, if you take Social Security, you can continue to work on a part-time, full-time basis. It doesn't matter. You could be president of the United States. It doesn't matter what position you have. You could be making $10 million a year, and they're not going to take that Social Security check away from you. But between 62 and 66, if you go back to work, that Social Security check is going to get pulled back a little bit from you depending upon how much money you make. You want to be exceedingly careful about that decision. And in Retiring for the Genius, in the book that we have to offer, which is available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, it's called Your Blueprint for Planning a Comfortable Retirement. We have a whole section in the book dedicated to giving you advice on Social Security and Medicare planning, all in a language you can understand. It's so clear. Look, you can go to a lot of seminars. You can get wowed by people. You can get bored by people, too. Certainly people that go to these meetings where they want to show you so much information that you are overwhelmed by it, that you say, geez, we have to do something. We better hire this guy because he or she is the person with all the answers. Folks, it's not that complicated. Financial planning, retirement planning does not take rocket science, though there are a lot of people out there that will lead you to believe that it does require rocket science. You don't need to worry about that. What you need is just a few pieces of information, a few tidbits, a few helping hints. Retiring for the Genius was written to help you, to give you the information, to empower you, to begin to explore what retirement will look like, to take your situation and integrate it into all the advice, and ask yourself, do I want to do this on my own? And if you do, here's the tools how. And if you get to a point in your life where you say, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to have all my stuff everywhere. I don't want to have things scattered. I don't want to have several different advisors I go to. I want to have one person, someone that will be my coach, my quarterback, the person that I can turn to. In Retiring for the Genius, you'll get all the steps and all the clues and all the secrets on how to find the right person for your situation. We're going to be talking a lot about stuff that's in Retiring for the Genius in the weeks to come. But one other thing that I want to tell you about is that I have a newsletter. This newsletter comes out each and every Friday, and we've been promoting this for as long as I've been on the radio. It's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. It's filled with little tidbits, kind of like stories like I've just shared with you about Social Security. All sorts of little pieces of information, financial advice in a language you can understand that you can use, that's applicable, that's practical. You can use this information. What you need to do to get my free newsletter, go to my website. It is FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. When you pull up my website, you'll see a little button that says sign up for Mark's free newsletter. All you need to do is put in your name, your email address, and boom, it's done. You have access to our newsletter. Comes out, like I said, every Friday at 10:30. Two or three little stories. Sometimes we do some local features. We talked about where to get the best fried clams a couple weeks ago. And we talk about something here. Here's something that we've been talking about lately. You know that green machine that's sitting inside your supermarket? That Coinstar machine. I think this is one of the greatest secrets that's out there. Undiscovered products that people can use right now that they think is the biggest ripoff, but in fact, it's a great deal. I'm talking about the Coinstar machine. If you want to learn why, stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Are you thirsty?
Quench your thirst with a cup of Honeydew Donuts iced coffee in so many flavors, it'll make your head spin. Not a coffee drinker. That's okay. We have fresh brewed iced teas. Or try an iced cappuccino. You'll feel like you're in heaven. Let's not forget about our signature Ice Mocha Madness. Also available in frozen, we're now featuring flavored fruit teas, including sugar-free, a variety of energizing smoothies, and flavored frozen iced teas for the summer. Honeydew Donuts. Enjoy the local flavor.
Honeydew Donuts in Wakefield, Melrose, Stoneham, Georgetown, and 114 in Danvers.
Hi, I'm Joel Avery, General Manager at Acura Peavey, the North Shore's exclusive Acura retailer, announcing that the responsive, instinctive, all-new 2015 Acura TLX has arrived at Acura Peavey. With features like precision all-wheel steer, available super handling all-wheel drive, and leases starting at only $285 per month, you'll have to feel it for yourself because driving is believing. The all-new Acura TLX, it's that kind of thrill. Visit us on Route 114 or at AcuraPeavey.com, where we're not just a dealership, but a relationship.
Chicago, Broadway's sizzling hit musical is at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater. Set amidst the razzle-dazzle decadence of the 1920s, Chicago is a story of murder, greed, corruption, fame,
and all that jazz.
Give them the old razzle-dazzle.
This Oscar, Tony, and Grammy award-winning musical features an unforgettable score delivering one showstopper after another. Chicago is a scintillating mix of funny, sophisticated, and sexy rolled into one. And it's only at North Shore Music Theater from September 23rd through October 5th.
He had it coming. He had it coming. He only had himself to
play. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, which is located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We provide financial planning and investment management services for individuals and families who live on the North Shore and in the Merrimack Valley and even those that live in southern New Hampshire. Frankly, 90% of my clients live within 10 miles of our office. And one of the reasons that we do that is we believe that good financial planning, great financial planning for that matter, needs to be done face-to-face. Using these robo-advisors, these online calculators, don't give you the whole story. Having a broker that lives out in Florida or Utah or Sacramento, they don't know about your situation. But at Friedman Financial, at our office, we provide face-to-face comprehensive financial advice so that you can put your financial house in order and feel good about your retirement future. But when we last left our previous segment, I was talking about one of the greatest opportunities that sits in most supermarkets. And it's a box that we walk by all the time because we think it's the greatest ripoff in the world. And that's called the Coinstar machine. Now, you're probably familiar with the red box. It's actually called red box. It's usually sitting next to the green box, but the green box is called Coinstar. The red box, you all know how that works. You just put in your credit, you set up your credit card, you can get a video for $1. Or a dollar and change now. But next to that, the green box, the Coinstar machine, is the place where you can take all of your loose change. You can dump it into the Coinstar machine. And they will turn around and give you back cash. Instead of having to carry around 40 pounds of change, you can get dollar bills. But everyone says, well, why would I want to do that? They charge me like 9% to get money. And you know what? You're right. And if you're using the Coinstar machine for that purpose, you're making a very seriously poor financial decision. Because as you probably well know, most banks today are set up to receive your big buckets of pocket change. You can just walk into your local bank, hand it to them. You don't have to roll them up. Remember we used to roll up pennies and quarters and nickels and all that stuff? You don't have to roll up that stuff anymore. Just give them a bucket. They dump it in the machine and they give you cash or they apply it to your bank account. But here's what happens in Coinstar that makes it a great deal. Did you know that if you put your change in, you can get gift cards from iTunes to JCPenney to Best Buy to Stop and Shop to Starbucks, whatever you might want. Lots of different companies pay to to be part of the CoinStar program. So let's say, for instance, I mean, you know that if you had, I don't know, 5 pounds of change sitting around, not too difficult to find 5 pounds of change. You realize when you dump it into the machine, you've got $50. $50 is staring you at the face. So you have a choice. You can have $50 in cash come back to you less 9%. Or how'd you like a $50 Starbucks gift card or a $50 iTunes card with no fee? That's right. The difference is that when you get a gift card in the CoinStar machine, no fee. And if you sign up for the CoinStar program, periodically you get promotions. And periodically on the show, I share with you some of those promotions that exist because iTunes for a while had a program when you put in $40 in change for and ask for an iTunes gift card, they'll give you back a $50 iTunes gift card. Not a bad deal. Starbucks will add extra money to your cards. All these different promotions appear on a regular basis. This is financial advice that everybody can benefit by. And it's a piece of financial information that many people ignore. We'll go to Stop and Shop. It's funny. You could actually go to Stop and Shop and turn around and buy an iTunes card if you want off the counter. You know, you've seen those that are there. But you can also bring your change, the pocket change, the stuff that's sitting in the couch cushions. All that stuff you've accumulated, and you can turn it into a nice, simple iTunes card. In fact, they don't even give you the card. They give you a little receipt. And it's got this, I don't know, 19-digit code in it. And all you do is you pull out your iPhone app right in front of you. You type in the code, and boom, the money's in your account. That simple. Technology is really fascinating this year. If you don't know how to do it, ask your grandkids, ask your kids. They know how to do this stuff. It's really, really cool. Another thing that I think people need to start taking advantage of is online banking. Online banking has come a long way. In fact, I find it hard to believe that my father was doing online banking before I was. I know that seems kind of odd. Usually it's the young kid that's doing it before the parents do it. My father was one of those pioneers that wanted to try all this stuff. One of the few places, one of the banks that did this really well early on, better than anybody else, was Salem 5. They had a great online banking program where you could pay all your bills right online. Well, everybody else has caught, well, most of the banks have caught up. Everybody's got a pretty good system. I happen to use Bank of America for mine, but Salem 5, Citizens Bank, Bank Santander, they're all really good online banking systems. What you have to do is you have to trust the system. And maybe many people are thinking, well, in today's world with identity theft and all this information that's stolen, can I trust online banking? Do I want to share that information online? Folks, you can do the best you can, but at the end of the day, if somebody wants your information, it's real easy to find. It's real easy to find no matter how secretive and protective you want to be. You've got to relax a little bit. You've got to trust in the system a little bit. In fact, we did a seminar a few months ago. Well, we had someone out from the Shine program, actually, to help our clients and listeners understand about Medicare benefits. We also had someone out talking about Social Security, and one of the people that was listening to the presentation came up to me afterwards, and she says to me, Mark, this information on Social Security was great. I really found it valuable, and I really appreciate you pointing me to the Social Security Administration website, which is ssa.gov. That's samsamapple.gov. She goes to that website. And she says, when I put my information in, one of the first things it asked me for was my Social Security number. And she says, and when they asked me that, I hit escape. I had to get out because I thought they were going to steal my information. Let's be sure we understand this. She went to the Social Security Administration website to find out information about what Social Security benefits she'd be entitled to, but she did not want to provide the Social Security Administration website with her Social Security number. Well, I think that's being a little paranoid. And I think we need to step back here, relax, because, folks, if we want to get things done more efficiently, if we want to receive the benefits that are coming from technology, we need to be a little bit more trusting. However, a lot of red flags out there for you to also be careful of. A lot of these things are called phishing expeditions. Now, phishing, not with an F, but with a PH, a phishing expedition. Sometimes you might get an email from Bank of America or from American Express or from Target or whomever it might be that says there seems to have been some peculiar activity on your account. Please call this number so that we can get this rectified for you. If you get those emails, I don't care if the Target logo's on there. I don't care if the American Express logo's on there. I don't care if any logo is on there. Chances are it is not legitimate. If it was legitimate, they'll call you. They know how to find you. They know how to reach you. I assure you, these companies are not reaching out via electronic media, electronic mail, to ask you for you to provide more information. Another way to do this, actually, when you look at the email that you get, if you actually click on the email address from which it came, and it says, if you were getting something from American Express, for instance, and that what's called the domain name, anything after that at symbol. So, for instance, you might have a name that says jsmith1234@gmail.com. @gmail.com means it's a Gmail account. It means it's a Google Mail account. You might have an AOL account or a Yahoo account. Well, if it's coming from American Express, it's probably going to say @AmericanExpress.com. But a lot of these phishing expeditions that are out there, and I actually did quotation marks, but you didn't quite see that because we're on the radio. These phishing expeditions, you'll get something from American Express or from Macy's or from Target, whomever it might be, and they'll have the Macy's logo. But if you click on the internet address, you're going to find after that at symbol, it's not going to say Macy's. It's not going to say Target. It's not going to say American Express. It's going to be some crazy jumbled name. When you see that, beware. Just hit the delete button. You need to hit the delete button. Don't start sending information if you can't verify for the source from which it came. I know I'm jumping off subject a little bit, but what I try to provide everybody here on this radio is a potpourri of financial pieces of advice so that you can make smart financial decisions, so that you can begin to prepare for retirement thoughtfully and appropriately, but not with a state of paranoia either. Well, one of the things that we found that was interesting in a report that came out recently, it was from Time Magazine, and Time produced this little calculator that I have on my app, actually an app on my phone, and it talks about who is the average American. You know, oftentimes we hear the term, well, the average American did this, the average American did that. And many people will come into my office, and one of the first things they're going to ask me is, how am I doing compared to everybody else? How is my financial situation based on everybody else? And generally, in fact, 99% of the time, I'm going to tell the people that walk into my office, you're doing better than most. And many people are floored by that. Well, let me ask you this. We've heard this term, the 1%. It was a big term a couple of years ago. The 1% we're making all the decisions. The 1% were the richest people in America. Everybody that made over a certain amount of money was part of the 1%. So let me ask you. We're going to ask you a little question. I'm going to pause for a minute, let you think about the answer. How much money did you have to show on your tax return as taxable income on your tax return to be considered part of the 1%? Do you know what that number was for the year? Now, that's a household. To show as household income, that might include your salary. It might include interest and dividends. It might include capital gains. It might include pensions. It might include IRA distributions. Whatever your situation is, in order to be considered part of the 1% in 2013, how much did you have to show as taxable income? What do you think that number is? Do you think it's 100,000? Do you think it's 200,000? It's $400,000. If you showed taxable income of more than $400,000, you're part of the 1%. The 1% of the richest people in America. Now, rich, I shouldn't call it rich. 1% of the highest earners in America for 2013. But what if you made $100,000 as your combined household income? Where do you think you fall? Is $100,000 in the 50 percentile? The third percentile? Where do you think it falls? If your household shows $100,000 in total taxable income, that includes salary, interest, dividends, capital gain distributions, Social Security income, IRA distributions, rental income, whatever it is, if you're showing $100,000, guess what? You're in the 23rd percentile. You know what that means? 77% of the population makes less than you do. 77% of the population makes less than you. So is $100,000 a lot? Is it a little? That's totally up to you. It's all a function of really what you use within your money, not necessarily how you make, how much you make. Because I tell people all the time, I don't care how much money you make. Whether you make $400,000 or $40,000 doesn't matter to me. What matters to me, what matters to your future, is how much of it you keep. Because when you're 50 years old, when you're 60 or 70, if you're making $50,000, $70,000, or $100,000, it doesn't matter what you're making on a month-to-month basis or a year-to-year basis. What matters is what you've accumulated and what you still stand to accumulate prior to retirement. That's what matters most. That's what matters most. In Retiring for the Genius, a book that I've recently released and is available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And if you tune in during the days, during the weekdays and listen to Catherine Brown, I know she'll be giving away some copies of this book as well. You'll learn all sorts of stories. You'll learn stories about, I'm trying to remember the names of the two people. It's escaping me, but there's two people that we talk about because we did change the names of the folks. But we talk about one person who's an orthopedic surgeon and another who worked as an engineer at GE. The orthopedic surgeon was making $650,000. The engineer at GE was making $92,000. And they were both 64 years old. The orthopedic surgeon and the engineer both wanted to retire. And the orthopedic surgeon came to me and he says to me, "Can I retire?" And he made $650,000 a year. But collectively to his name, with the exception of his house, he had $250,000 saved. How could this person possibly retire? However, the engineer, who was making $92,000 a year, had saved through his 401k and through his ongoing savings almost $900,000. And he was also entitled to a pension. So don't tell me $650,000 is a lot of money or $92,000 is a lot of money. What you make doesn't matter. What you keep means everything. What you make doesn't matter. What you keep means everything. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to tell you some real statistics on what does the average American look like. That way you can compare yourself to, am I like the average American? And by the way, the average American household I'm going to be talking about is a household that has an average age of 50 years old. Perhaps I'm talking about you or somewhere or an age that's somewhere near you. Would you like to know what the U.S. Census Bureau says, or the Bureau of Labor and Statistics says about what the average American looks like? We'll be right back. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and Peabody and host of Dollars and Cents. Do you like what you're hearing on today's show? Does our approach to financial planning make sense to you? If you answered yes, then I'd like to learn more about your financial goals and objectives. You see, our team at Friedman Financial can help you put your financial house in order and keep your focus on the big picture. Sure, we manage money for you, but if you're like most of our clients, you want someone who provides advice in all areas of your financial life too. Think of us as your rational sounding board for financial questions and direction. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial plan, we're here to help you with the strategies to get you there. For a free initial consultation, call Friedman Financial at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Don't miss the one and only Ronan Tynan, Saturday, September 13th at the North Shore Music Theater. North Shore Elder Services presents one of the most irresistible voices in Irish music, a founding member of the Irish Tenors, and a tour de force on his own. This will be an evening to remember. Support the work of North Shore Elder Services and enjoy an evening with Ronan Tynan. VIP tickets include a reception. All the details are at nsmt.org or call the box office at 978-232-7000. Ronan Tynan in concert, September 13th. Be there.
Where is home? I hear you say, so far away, so far away.
Sports. Listen up. Gibley's once-a-year tent sale is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Every item under the tent, 50 to as much as 80% off. I've always wanted to say this, Alan. Everything must go.
No, Billy. Only those items under the tent.
So we're talking bathing suits, t-shirts, three-piece suits, jeans.
Brands like Tommy Bahama, Robert Graham, Canali, Oxford, Hugo Boss, Paul and Shark, Vince, Agave.
Amazing. All those brands under one tent at 50 to 80% off. Gibley's once-a-year tent sale ends today.
Route 114 Danvers, next to Ira Lexus.
And we'll see you there.
You're listening to the North Shore's number one station for good time favorites and fun all weekend long. WBOQ Gloucester.
Your good time favorites, North Shore 104.9.
Who finds the money?
I know you got a mess of dough here.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We're a few minutes past the top of the hour. Nice, beautiful day on Sunday. Hope you're having a great day. If we're heading into the dog days of summer. Actually, college is right around the corner. Remember my daughter, Mindy? We've had her on the show. She's heading off to Babson next week. We're going to send her off, and we're actually going to be down to four kids in the house. But, you know, we're very fortunate. Mindy got into Babson, early decision. And delighted that she's there, and it's also nice that she's only 40 minutes away. I see so many of our friends' children traveling to Arizona, to Florida, to Michigan, to Alabama, all these places all around the country. And, man, that's going to be a tough thing to say goodbye to your kid for 6 months or whatever that time might be. I feel very fortunate that Mindy chose a school. Not only did she choose a great school, in fact, Babson College was recently named the number one school in America. In Money Magazine, the number one school in America beyond Harvard, MIT, Yale. Now, why did they get named number one? They could have been named number one because they're among the most expensive, I guess. But I guess everybody's around $60,000 a year for a private school education. But they got named number one for one primary reason, is there's a 99% placement rate upon graduation. A 99% placement out of graduation. Another thing is on the 1 year, 5 year, and 10 year look back, if you look at graduates from 1 year, 5 year, and 10 years, their return on investment, when they look at what the salaries and the earnings that they're making based upon the money that they spent to go to Babson, it is the highest in the nation. People are making a lot of money going to a business school. If you spend $60,000 to get an art history degree, my opinion, you're wasting your money. And I know I'm sure there's plenty of people screaming at me on the radio right now, but if you want to go to get a good art history degree, there's nothing wrong with going to a state school or something that doesn't cost $60,000 a year. To go pay $60,000 a year to be a public defender, probably not worth it either. College is expensive. In fact, there was a report that came out recently in CNN, it came out this week actually, CNN reported that the new cost for a child, if you have a child in 2014, between now and 18 years from until their 18th birthday, do you know what it's going to cost you out of pocket? To provide them shelter, to provide them food, to provide them education, to provide them dance classes and karate and whatever else it might be. From 0 to 18, that total cost is around $240,000. So if you're thinking of having children, recognize it doesn't come for free. And you know what? Grandma and grandpa can't pay the cost either. If you're going to have kids, recognize it comes at a cost. Now, grandma and grandpa want to help out sometimes. We know that. But they can't be the resource for money. You need to know that the kids are going to cost money. It's all built into your day-to-day regular activities. But kids cost money. $240,000 on average in America for a child, 0 to 18. But in many places, when you hit 18 and you go off to college, many people are paying $240,000 for 4 years of college. Private school, $60,000 a year these days. $240,000. Is it worth it? Well, that's a conversation for a whole nother day, if it's worth paying $60,000. Remember, I always tell people this, and you may think it's the cheap way out, but it's a planning strategy for you. Nobody will ever ask you, where did you go to school during your freshman year? When you're applying for a job, no one's going to ask you, what school were you accepted to and did you attend your freshman year out of high school? What they're going to ask is where did you graduate from? Where do you have a diploma? Think about how many people could go to, say, UMass or Salem State or wherever it might be. Go there for 2 years. Find what they really want to do. Find what their passions are. Find and try to identify what they truly want to study. And then transfer to a school that specializes specifically in what it is that you want to do. Think about how much money you'd save, and you're still going to walk away with the same diploma that someone who paid 4 years at that private university did for you to only have to go to it for 2 years. It's a real interesting approach. Frankly, it's the way I did it. I went to UMass for 2 years. I happened to graduate Babson as well. But I didn't go there for 4 years. My parents couldn't afford to send me there for 4 years without having to take significant loans. So there's smarter ways to approach going to college, and it's something to think about. So we talk about what the average cost for a child is. Talk about the average cost for a child from 0 to 18. I promised you when we were getting back from the break that I was going to talk to you about what the average Joe makes, the average person across America. Each year, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics produces a public report that attempts to capture how the average household, referred to as a consumer unit, spends money. These numbers are typically used by the media to illustrate the state of the American consumer. And so what I'm going to do is share with you some information about a table that I have in my book, Retiring for the Genius, that's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, so that you can begin to think about and compare yourself to say, is this like me? Well, here's the numbers. There were 124 million consumers surveyed. The average number of people in the consumer unit or a household was 2.5. So you might be two parents with a child. You might be a single parent with a child. 2.5 was the average, okay? The average age of the primary consumer, the primary breadwinner of the house, was 50 years old. And the percentage of people that owned a home, of those 124 million people, what percent do you think of those people owned a home? The answer, 64%, so more than half. So what we're trying to do is identify what the average consumer looks like in America. This is coming right out of the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. 124 million people were surveyed, average age 50, 2.5 people on average in a household. Now, I know you can't put a half a person into a household, but it's just statistics. 64% of those people are homeowners. What did they make in earnings? What were their pre-tax earnings? So let's say, for instance, you're making $100,000 a year, but you put 10% of your pay into your 401k plan. That means your pre-tax earnings is still $100,000. Your post-tax earnings is $90,000. So this is before you put money into your 401k plan. Your pre-tax earnings, the average person in America is making $65,000. That's the average household, by the way, not the average individual, the average household, the average consumer unit, which is 2.4 people living in a house. So if your household shows earnings greater than $65,000, you're doing better than average, which shouldn't come as a surprise to you. Remember, I told you as a household, and I told you this in the previous segment, if you're making $100,000 a year in your household, you're in the top 22% of Americans. 65% is the middle of the road. If you're 20, if you're 30, it's not a big deal. I mean, you're not expected to be making $60,000, $70,000. You're probably single. But if you're in your 40s, in your 50s, in your 60s, I bet you know plenty of people that are making well beyond $65,000 a year. But here's what's even more interesting. What does the average consumer spend? They might make $65,000. That's pre-tax earnings. But what do they spend after taxes? Because remember, if you're making $65,000 a year, you still have to pay taxes, right? You got to pay federal taxes. You got to pay state taxes. You got to pay FICA taxes. That's if you're working. It's a little bit different if you're retired. So take out all the taxes. What does the average American spend in America? $51,000 a year, about $1,000 a week, or call it a little bit more than $4,000 a month. Does that sound like you? Do you spend more than that? Do you spend less than that? I bet that there are many Americans out there today, many people listening to this show, that might make $100,000, $120,000 a year, and they spend $4,000 or $5,000 a month. My contention is, and the reason why I wrote the book, Retiring for the Genius, was because there is a segment of the population that I call the mass affluent baby boomer. And I know many of you are listening to this radio show right now. Let me see if I can describe you. You're between the ages of 50 and 75. You own a house. In retirement, you anticipate spending between $4,000 and $10,000 a month. When you add up everything you own, including your house, that total comes somewhere between $500,000 and $2 million. How am I doing? Does that sound like you? Some of the things you worry about. Jeez, when should I take Social Security? What's the best way to do it? I heard these all these different strategies on the way to do it. I want to be sure I maximize my Social Security benefit. What about Medicare? When am I supposed to apply? What do I do? And uh-oh, when it's time to retire, when I'm not getting the paycheck anymore, or my boss says to me, well, Joe, thanks for your service of 35 years. We've got an early retirement package for you. We'd like you to consider it. You need to make a decision on your pension, and you need to make a decision on how you want to take your rollover, your 401k, what your pensions options are, what your health benefits are going to be, and you got 48 hours to make that decision. And you worry about that. All of those issues surround the people that would benefit from retiring for the genius. It's written for a group called the Mass Affluent Baby Boomer. If that's you, you're going to love this book. Pick it up at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's called Retiring for the Genius. You can follow me on Twitter. Tweet me, or if you'd like, at Retiring Genius. You can go to my website, RetiringGenius.com. There's lots of ways that you can learn more about this book. We're going to continue to share it each and every Sunday morning. We've got to take a quick break, but I got more stuff to tell you from this book. When we get back, my name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Off Labor Day weekend in Gloucester with Henry Smith, New Orleans, Friends and Flavors on Friday, August 29th at the Cape Ann Marina's Waterfront Pavilion to benefit YMCA teen programs. Henry's eight-piece band features Grammy winner Amadee Castanel. Your Mardi Gras concert sold out, so get your tickets now at the Liquor Locker in Gloucester or online at gimmelive.tv. That's GIMMELive.tv.
Are you thirsty?
Quench your thirst with a cup of Honeydew Donuts iced coffee in so many flavors, it'll make your head spin. Not a coffee drinker. That's okay. We have fresh brewed iced teas. Or try an iced cappuccino. You'll feel like you're in heaven. Let's not forget about our signature Ice Mocha Madness. Also available in frozen, we're now featuring flavored fruit teas, including sugar-free, a variety of energizing smoothies, and flavored frozen iced teas for the summer. Honeydew Donuts. Enjoy the local flavor.
Honeydew Donuts in Wakefield, Melrose, Stoneham, Georgetown, and 114 in Danvers.
Hi, this is Dana Hersey. I'm filling in on the morning show here for a while, and I want to invite you to join me and the crew Monday morning right here on your good time favorite station, North Shore 104.9. The news, weather, sports with Biff, and traffic, as well as police log, news you can lose, and whoever drops by and whatever trouble this crew can get into, which seems to be pretty easy. Mornings beginning at 6 right here on North Shore 104.9.
Show me your money!
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We're in our last and final segment of the day. We are here each and every Sunday morning from 7:30 to 8:30, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Like I said, my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. Our offices are located in Peabody, Massachusetts, and we'd be delighted to talk with you, especially if you fall into a group that I call the mass affluent baby boomer. Let me see if I can describe you. Are you over the age of 50? But under the age of 75, do you own a house? Do you plan in retirement to spend somewhere between $4,000 and $10,000 a month? And when you look at all of the assets that you have, you add up your house, your 401k, your investments, your brokerage account, your insurance, your annuities, all that stuff, is that number somewhere between $500,000 and $2 million? Do you worry about Social Security, Medicare, how to take money from your investment accounts to support your life in retirement? Is your financial life scattered all over the place? If the answer is yes to all of these questions, and even most of these questions, you're going to find a financial planning firm that is prepared to help you get serious about your retirement planning and to put you on the right track so that you can monitor, plan, and see progress in your retirement outcome. I've also written a book. It's called Retiring for the Genius. And during the show today, we're talking about some of the stories and some of the segments that come from this book. And it's something that you could benefit from. Because even if you want to do retirement planning on your own, I tell you straight out in this book, the retirement planning does not take a rocket science degree. If you can add, subtract, multiply, and divide, even with a calculator, you're going to do just fine. You just have to follow the steps. And Retiring for the Genius provides you those steps, provides you with those guidance points so that you can prepare for the retirement that you want. We've seen a lot of tremendous success. Money Magazine has picked up this book. They've written about it. USA Today and Yahoo Finance have asked for copies of the book. But recently, I've been on a radio tour, believe it or not, that I can do right from my office. We've got 19 radio spots lined up. Well, I've done some of them this past week, and we've got more coming up this week. And I thought I'd share with you some of the learnings that I've seen and some of the perspectives that I've picked up along the way. This past week, I was in Ocean City, Maryland. I was in Kingston, New York. I was in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I was in Dearborn, Michigan. Not that I was there physically, but I was on the radio in all these places. Tons of places all over the place. Now, they could be AM stations, FM stations. It could be Sirius radio. It could be national syndication. But I'll tell you a funny story. I was on a station. Actually, it was a Sirius XM station. It was Sirius XM 126. And if you're sitting at your dial and you're turning it around, right, turning it on your dial, you can find out what Sirius XM 126 is. It's called the Maggie Linton Show. I was on from 10, well, it's from 10 to 12. I was on from 11:30 to 12. It's urban radio. So I thought, great. I mean, we're reaching a whole nother segment of the population. We had a great conversation. Maggie was asking me some really, really good questions on the radio about retiring. In fact, one of her big questions that she asked me was, so Mark, how does someone really figure out how much they need to spend every month? Because most people say, I plan to retire, but when you ask them how much they plan to spend in retirement, they just don't know the answer. So what I did was I pointed her to a section in the book, a section in my book, Retiring for the Genius, which is available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And it's a little recipe card that's in the book. And it says, here's how to figure out how much you spend every month. My guess is that you probably rely on one or two checkbooks in your house to pay all of your bills. Now, some people rely on 14 different checkbooks, which I think is nuts. But many people rely on one or two checkbooks to pay all their bills. You'll pay your credit card bill through it, your ATM gets recorded on that, your utility bill, your rent, your mortgage, whatever it might be. So here's what you need to do. Pull out your last statement. And if you look at your statements online, you can pull up this information real easily. But pull up your last statement. Look at the top of the page or the bottom of the page, depending upon the bank that you go to, that's where the information is going to be. It's going to say total deposits and total withdrawals. Look at that withdrawal number. That's the amount of money that you spent over the course of a month. Now, you might say to yourself when you look at that number, geez, I know that number's high, but, you know, we had this expense that came up or this came up. Folks, it happens every month, every few months. You're always going to have those expenses. So take not only that number, now I want you to go and pick up as far back as you can go, at least five more months. So you're going back six, perhaps you can go back 12 months of old statements. Grab those 12 statements and write down the 12 numbers that list themselves as total withdrawals. Add them all up. You're going to see a huge number. It's going to surprise you. I don't care. Add up the number, then divide by 12. That's the amount of money that you're spending on average every month. You may not like that number. You may think, geez, that's awfully high, but it's probably reality. And if you think you're going to spend much less than that in the months to come, chances are you won't. But that's what you need to spend each month, perhaps in retirement. Look, you've heard of the theory that says you're going to need to spend about 70% of what you spend in retirement. In retirement, that's not true. You're going to spend probably the same amount that you're spending right now. And the reason why is you're just going to spend it differently. So that's one of the lessons, one of the questions that comes up on these radio shows. It's one of the featured stories and featured items that I highlight in my book, retiring for the genius. But the thing that made me laugh at the end of Maggie's show, this is Sirius XM 126. Last week, Maggie says she wants to thank all of her listeners on the show because I was the last one going up. She thanks all of her listeners on the show. Thanks for me for being on the show. And then she says, tomorrow, how to keep your kids out of jail. And I laughed for a minute. But you know what? There's always something to talk about on the radio. And perhaps I didn't know that there was a following for that. But hey, if you wanted to listen to her show, that's what was going on the next day. And if that's something that interests you, by the way, go to Maggie Linton's shows. You can Google her. She podcasts everything, so you could pick up what she had to say about how to keep your kids out of jail. It kind of surprised me. I thought it was kind of funny going from a retiring conversation to how to keep your kids out of jail. All right, we're running out of time. A couple reminders to you. If you'd like to get a copy of the book Retiring for the Genius, few ways that you can get it. Go to Amazon.com. Go to BarnesandNoble.com. The other thing you can do is listen during the weekdays, listen to Catherine Brown because she's going to be giving out copies of my book this week and next. A few other things that you can do is, number one, sign up for my newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. The way to do that is you need to go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. You'll see a big button down at the bottom, and it says sign up for Mark's newsletter. You click that button, you put in your name, your email address, and boom, you're going to get it. One of the other things that appears there, though, is a comment section. If you've got questions for me, you want to ask me anything about your personal financial life, you want to set up an appointment at my office. We've met so many of you, and it's been so delightful to meet many of the listeners here of the show. We schedule a free initial consultation for anybody that wants to come into the office. You can put in your questions. I will respond to you. I promise to you, I will respond to you. A couple other final things as it relates to the book. If you want to find out what's going on with the book or get additional tidbits on the book, you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is Retiring Genius. Retiring Genius is my Twitter handle. If you don't know how to put that into your little phone, just ask one of your grandkids. They'll set that up for you. Or if you want to find out more information about the book, you can also go to RetiringGenius.com. That's RetiringGenius.com. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We will be back next Sunday at 7:30, providing you with more financial advice in a language you can understand. I want to thank you for joining us. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.